Okay, so we're doing is continuing Malachim Aleph. It's been a little while. Okay, we're continuing Malachim Aleph, the story of Eliyahu and Har HaCarmel. Okay, so if you remember, Eliyahu basically declared there to be a drought, that there wasn't going to be any rain. The King Ahab, remember? King Ahab was basically saying that God's, look, remember the backstory a little bit, is that this city, this guy built up Yericho, Arasha, and his kids ended up dying because Yeshua had that curse. And then Ahav, Chazal says, Ahav said to Eliyahu, so he says, look, you say the curse of Yeshua is fulfilled, but what about the curse of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu says that if you do Avod Zara, there's going to be no rain. But here it is, we're all doing Avod Zara, and yet we're having rain. So Eliyahu said, that's it, it's not going to be any rain anymore. Okay, because he realized it was a Chilul Hashem, and therefore he realized now's the time to, for that Kalala to be fulfilled. Okay, so there's no rain. Fine, so then what happened was, after a while, so Ahav was like starting to look around for water, right? He himself, he didn't want to tell everybody to make the populace all scared, so he and his servant, whose name was Ovadyo, they went looking for water, okay? And they went in different directions. And Ovadyo bumped into Eliyahu, and Eliyahu said, oh, he says, go tell Ahav that you found me. You know, so he says, listen, that's dangerous for me. I'm going to go back to Ahav. You're going to disappear. And I'm going to be in trouble. And you know, I'm a tzaddik. I basically saved. Remember, he hid the Nevi'im, 50 in each cave. Actually, 50 Nevi'im one cave, 50 Nevi'im another cave, in order to make sure that the Nevi'im Hashem would continue. So this is going to be suicide for me to go and tell Ahav that I saw Eliyahu and that's it. Now he's going to kill me. So he says, no, don't worry about it. He says, I'm going to, Eliyahu said to Avodyo, don't worry, I'm going to appear to Ahav today. Okay? I'm going to appear to Ahav today. Okay? Fine. Oh, no, I forgot to tell you, this is, how did this whole thing get started? The whole parak got started is that Hashem appeared to Eliyahu in the third year, and he says, go, show yourself to Ahav, and I'm going to give rain on the earth. Alright, it's come time. The Jews didn't deserve this much. Now it's already getting too much, and now go give rain. Right? So he went this whole thing, right? Now what's going to happen is, this is whole part of him following God's tzivoy to go and give the rain back. Right? Okay, so now we're up to here. One second. Alright, so let's see, but let's start again from Pasuk Tesvav. So we're in Malachim Aleph Yerches Tesvav. So now it's going to be basically the encounter between Eliyahu and Ahav. Ayomer Eliyahu, Chai Hashem Tzvakos, Asher Amarti L'fanav, Ki Hayomer Eliyahu. He says, I swear by Hashem, Eliyahu says, that today I'm going to appear to Ahav. Okay, he told Avadyo that. Ayelech Avadyo L'kras Ahav, V'ayagid Lo, Ayelech Ahav L'kras Eliyahu. So Avadyo told Ahav, he came to greet Ahav, and he told him, and Ahav came to greet Eliyahu, so now basically they're coming at that. Okay. Ayala, is that you?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. You hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, good. So this is basically the setup for Eliyahu and Har HaCarmel. So Eliyahu is meeting Ahav. So this is Vahikiros Ahav es Eliyahu. When Ahav saw Eliyahu, Vayomer Ahav Elav, Hato ze Ucha Yisrael, is this you? The one who's upsetting Kal Yisrael? Perturbing Kal Yisrael? Lachal Ahav Yirchas. Okay? Yirchas. So, are you the one, is this the one who's, disturbing Kal Yisrael? So Vayomer. So this is, it's funny, Ahav's accusing Eliyahu, the one who's disturbing Kal Yisrael, because he made the rain stop. Okay? So he says, Lo Achat Yis Yisrael, I didn't disturb Yisrael, Kiyim Ata. It's you, the base of Icha in your father's house. You guys are leaving the Torah. Right? The real disturbing of Kal Yisrael was when you started turning towards Avod Zara. That's the disturbs Kal Yisrael. Not my not making it rain. My not making it rain is trying to straighten everything out, not the great problems. Now, Eliyahu tells Ahav, gather for me all the Jewish people, El Har HaCarmel. To this mountain, Har HaCarmel. Ves Nevi'ei Habal, Arba'a Meos V'Chamishim, and the 450 false prophets for our Baal. On the 400 false prophets, false navis to Nevi'im to Asherah, another one Zara. Those are the 400 who ate by Isabel's table, the queen. Okay, so basically gather all the Jews and all your false Nevi'im. Okay, now the big problem in this whole thing is, what's he doing? God just said, go appear to Ahav and give him rain. Right? But Eliyahu is doing this whole fancy thing. It's more than just saying it's going to rain. And that's going to be the problem, is figuring out what's the plan here. There's some sort of a plan going on. Okay, so let's see it unfold, and then we'll try to analyze it. So he gathered all the Nevi'im, right? He could. And they approached the people. Vayomer, and we discussed this last time, I think, a little bit. For how long are you going to jump between these two different posts, these two different sides? If Hashem is the God, then go after him. And if it's Baal, then go after him. He says, you can't do this. There's no idea of playing, hedging your bets on both sides. I mean, God, the idea of Hashem is totally the opposite of what Zara, until he denies any of Zara. And what Zara is the opposite of Hashem. You can't take both. In fact, it's worse, because if you're with Zara, at least admit it and realize that you're Hashem. Don't pretend that you're good people. You're not good people. So you end up harming yourself by giving off the impression that you're worshipping God. You're not worshipping God. Once you believe in these old Zaras and you're worshipping Zaras, forget it. The people didn't answer him anything. Okay, they didn't. They were confused. The Radak says is that previously they really worshipped Zaras, but at the same time, Elio made this whole rain thing and hasn't rained for a while based on Elio's thing. So it's like kind of they were confused. They didn't really know. They were stuck. Because they're emotional, they're still attached to those Zaras. At the same time, they have a good argument that this stuff isn't really true. Right, so it's kind of like they didn't really know what to do. They're stuck. So Vayomer Eliyahu Elam, he says, "I know what I'll do." Eliyahu says to people, "Ani no sarati navi l'Hashem levadi. I'm the only navi l'Hashem." Right, because Yisrael killed them all, except there were 100 hidden, but no one knew about those. And Nevi'i Baal, Armeos v'chamishimesh, and there's 450 Nevi'i Baal. Okay, they noticed that the 400 Asher Nevi'i Asherah, the false word Asherah, disappeared. Then Chazal says that they ran away. They were scared. They didn't want to come. They knew something was going to happen. Okay, it's fine. But, okay. V'yinu lanu shnayim par. You will give us, you will be given to us two parim, two cows. V'yichur lahem apar ha'echor. And you guys, the Yinuvim, they choose one par. V'yinatchu, and they'll cut it up. V'yisim ha'leitzim, they'll put it on the wood. V'yish le'yisim ha'leitzim. Don't bring any fire. And neither of us will bring any fire. Okay, from ourselves, right? We're going to put the whole carbon ready to go, and we'll see what happens. You'll call the names of your gods. And I'll call the name of Hashem. And the God who answers in the fire, who makes the fire come down from the sky, from the heavens, and eats up the carbon, that's the real God. And all the nations says, okay, good. It's a good deal, I'll make a test, an experiment. We don't know, they're confused, they don't know if it's Baal or Hashem, so let's make a test. By the way, they say this is an example of a Rasha, which means it's a... I'll explain what it means in a second, but basically you're not allowed in general to bring a carbon outside of the Beis Mikdash. Okay? Outside of the Beis Mikdash. And there was Beis Mikdash at this point, right? This is after Shlomo HaMelech. So there's a Beis Mikdash. So you weren't really allowed to build and bring a carbon outside of the Beis Mikdash. That's what part of what the Zohar did, is they set up these fake Beis Mikdash, so we know how to do that. But they say Eliyahu determined that this was necessary. For a future of Klal Yisrael, this is necessary. And there's a Navi, he's allowed to give a Ras Shah, which means a temporary psak to go against the mitzvah and the Torah. Okay, and that he did that, and that's legitimate. A Navi has a right to do that. Okay, but only on a temporary basis. A Navi can't permanently do that, and he can't, even on a temporary basis, he can't say Dovah Zara. Then we know himself also he's lying. But a particular mitzvah in the Torah, on a particular instance, a Navi has a right to do that. Okay, that's called a Rasha. This is like the classical example of it. Okay? Which the basic argument is that the mitzvahs are the best system in general. Dore Doros, what system is the best system? In general, a system should not allow bringing karbanos outside. But it doesn't mean in every single instance it's necessarily good. In this particular instance, it's better for them to bring it. Now, the only thing is, you can't have a system which is going to be determined by each and every case. So a system has to have principles. But if you have a Navi who could evaluate the thing in each case, he has a right to do that. Okay, that's a unique right that a Navi could do. Okay, so that's a side point. So basically, they're going to make this experiment, right? So they said, good, Tava Dover. Right? Seems like they were investigating, they wanted to see. Okay. By Yom Eliyahu and Nevi'ah Yabal, and Eliyahu said to Nevi'ah, to the fake Nevi'ah, Bacharu lachem apar ha'echad, you guys choose a par. V'asa Rishana, you go first. Ki'atam Rav, because you're a majority, let the majority go first. Yikiru b'shem elohechem, v'esh l'sasima. Call in the name of your gods, but don't bring any fire. Vayikhu is sure enough. Vayikhu is a par, and also let me took it. Vayasu, and they did it. Vayikru b'shem ha'bal. He called the name of Baal. Boker out of Torah. In the morning up until the afternoon. Leimar ha'bal aneinu. Baal, answer us. Okay, they say from the morning until the Torah, because the sun god was a big god that they worshipped. Maybe the Baal was, I think, Baal, I think the Rosh was there. Baal was like the masters of the world, which includes the sun. So they were like, as the sun was rising and gaining strength, they were like praying to the sun. And they, what were they saying? Aneinu, Habal, Vatatan Lemar, Habal, Aneinu. Baal, answer us. Vein, kol, vein, ona. No sounds, no answering, nothing. Vayefaschu al mizbeach hashasa. And they did like these jumps and dances, funny dances, which they used to do on the mizbeach. Okay? They used to do crazy dances. Like a sun dance or this dance, you know? They did somehow that's what primitives do, right? Rain dances, these funny dances which make things happen. Okay, or supposedly. Vayibitzarayim, and it came in the afternoon already when the sun was setting. And Vayahasalahim Eliyahu. And Eliyahu like made fun of them. Okay, he rebuked them. He joked at them. Vayomer. Kiru b'kol gadol, call out loud. Kilu Elohim, he's a god, right? Because this god, call your god. And when you're saying he's a god, so call him, call loud. Kishiach v'chisiglo, because it means maybe he's busy talking, or maybe he's fighting. V'chiderechlo, or maybe he's in the bathroom. Ula yashenu, maybe he's sleeping. Vayikatzin, you wake him up. He's like mocking them. Their gods are not very powerful gods. And, you know, this is the way they project all these types of things onto their gods, right? So he's saying, yes, maybe he doesn't hear you. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he's this. Maybe he's that. And the Rashba says, this is a part of the thing, is one of the arguments against the sun god. Like, a sun god is good as long as the sun is up. But as the sun's going down already, he started getting, it's not as strong. So all the forces of nature are always changing. He says, God is beyond time, he's always present, always able to, you know, always powerful. So here it's like, as the sun is setting, they're starting to get nervous, and he's starting to poke fun at them and to show them their God. He's like attributing these human qualities to them, and so he's like ridiculing, you know. Right, it's like in jest, of course, you know, there's maybe God is sleeping in the bathroom, maybe he's, you know, what kind of God is he? They grew a cold God, though. And they called very loud, but he's, go to Duke Mishpatim. And they would cut themselves. Becharavos uveramachim. Those are different tools that they used to cut themselves with. Atshafach namalem. They're all bloody. So that's another thing that ancient idolaters, pagans would do, is they would cut themselves to their gods and all kinds of like self-sacrifice. You know, they thought that their gods, it's like you torture yourself for your god and then it makes your god happy and it's some sort of funny thing like that. So they would do that stuff. Oh, they did all their tricks. Okay, but obviously it didn't work. Because there you go, they're made up. Vayikav Ortzarayim. And sure enough, as the afternoon passed, Vayisnavu Adlo Samincha, They kept having their nevuahs, their fake nevuahs, right? Until the milcha time, and I guess it means until the evening. Ain kol ain on a bein kasher. There's nothing. No answers. No sounds. Zero. Okay. Fine. Right. Then Elio said, it was right about Melchat time, and Elio said to the people, Yeshu Eli, come approach me. And all the people came close to him. First of all, he fixed up the broken down Mizbeach Hashem. Apparently the Mizbeach Hashem was broken down. Okay, so first thing is he did, he repaired it, he fixed it up. Okay. And he took 12 stones. So he took it because the Bnei the son of the Shvatim. Right, that Hashem said that the Jews will be called Israel. So some of you wanted to reflect that this is Israel and the Shvatim. He's a nice part of like a movement which goes back to the Avos. So he tied itself back to the God of the Avos. Okay, so he's directing, and presumably he's directing the people's attention back to the Avos and the ideas of the Avos. Like even I saw on him, Mizbeach B'Shem Hashem, and he built them with Avonim as Mizbeach, name of God, Vayach to Allah, Kebesa Sain Zerah Savon Mizbeach. And he made, that means like a ditch, I think. Right? Chafira. Yeah, he dug like a moat around the Mizbeach. Very big. Okay. Why did he do that? We'll see. So then he basically set up the wood, and he cut up the par, and he put in the other par on the wood. Take four vessels, jugs of water, pour it on top of my animal. Okay, so he's saying wet it, make it that it's not really going to be able to burn. Okay, I should do it again. And they did it again. Do it a third time. And they did it again. So they got everything all wet, you know? Sopping wet. And then the water went around the Zveach. And filled up the moat. This thing of water. Alright, so why do you do that?
Make it more dramatic.
More dramatic, and to make it show that there's no magic tricks going on here. Right? In other words, there's no hidden matches or hidden anything going on or some underground tunnel. And he dug a big underground moat, filled it with a saw. They saw him fill it with water. They saw him pour water on top of everything. So no one's going to have some story, he had a hidden lighter under the thing and whatever. It was like clear. He did it in a way that it totally outruled any possibility of any tricks, you know, in everyone's mind. Today you should make known that you are Hashem, you are the God of Israel, and I'm your servant. And by your word, I'm doing all these things. Okay, I'm not making this stuff up. Then I made the water go away, the rain go away, and I'm doing these kamanos. Aneni Hashem, aneni. Answer me, Hashem, answer me. V'yidu kolam hazeh, ki atah Hashem alakim. So you'll know that you're Hashem, and you turn them away.
But is this also Maharasha that you can just
make such a
like this?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question.
How they say like you're not allowed to draw a circle and say
right. Only thing is Hashem told him, go to El Achav and I'll give him water. And we give back the water. So it would seem to be, that's a question. It says that I did this by the word of God. Does it mean God actually told him to do this whole thing, or it just means that since God told him to give them rain, so therefore that's included in this thing, I'm doing it by God's word? You know? But it doesn't seem like he had I don't know. I'm not sure if he had a known specific, or that's a Rasha, or it would seem to me it just follows from what he said. I mean, this is a part of what we have to understand. Why is he doing this? Because Hashem just said, give him water. But obviously this is some sort of using this chacham, what's really, this is the way to do it. But that's what we have to understand exactly. What's this whole deal? Okay. Fine. Then he says, V'yitipol esh me'Hashem, v'tochas olah v'esoitzim. And sure enough, a fire came down from the sky and ate up the olah and the wood, v'esa avanim and the stones, v'esa afar and the dirt, v'esa mayim asher v'atala l'checha. And it even ate up, dried up all the water. You drink out of all the water in the ditch. Okay, so this fire totally consumed everything, right? All the nations saw it and they fell on their face. Hashem hu Elokim. They realized Hashem is really the power, it's the God, Hashem is the God. Not forget all these Baals. And then Eliyahu said, Tifsu is going to be a Baal. Grab the false and VM, the prophets of Baal. Ishalim alimam. Don't let them run away. But if some of the gem, they read them really on Achle Kisham, Ishkatim Sham, and he go in and kill them there by the river. I am really all off of Alei, a whole strike. You call them on Gershom, you go eat and drink, because I hear the sound of rain. Rain is coming. Okay. Alach of Lech of Lishos, Eliyahu Rosh HaKarmel. Eliyahu went up to the top of the mountain, Vayigar Arza, and he like bowed to the ground by Esam Pana Ben Berko, and he put his head between his knees. Ayomer Al Nara, Alayna, apparently he was davening. Alayna Habeit Derech Yam, look towards the east. Vayal, Vayabet, Vayomer Ein Mumah, there's nothing there. Vayomer Shuv, Shavapam, go back 7 times, you get telling him. Vayiba Shvias in the 7th time, Vayomer Yineav Katana, Kafish Olam Mayam, I see like a cloud, like a palm of a hand coming up from the sea. Vayomer Alay, Amor Alachov. Go and tell Achav. Esor v'rei. Go. Well, Yatzrach HaGeshem. Go quickly. Run down. Go back home, and don't let the rain stop you. V'yadko. Sure enough, quickly, Yashmaim Skadru Avim. Right, the sky got full of clouds, ruach and wind. V'yageshem Gadol. It was a big rain. V'yerkav Achav. V'yelch Yisrael. And Yaakov ran away. Right. Okay. V'yad Hashem Yisrael Yehu. Hashem like quickly pushed Elio ahead, and he ran in front of Achav Israel, so he beat him. Whatever, he gave him a good quick run. Okay, whatever, that's okay, so that's basically the story. Good? Okay. So the question is, again, it's nice and dramatic and interesting and all that, but the question is, what's the point of the whole thing? Right? What's the point of this whole dramatic showdown? After all, Hashem just said, go and give them rain. So what would be wrong if you just swam and didn't give them rain? Now what's the point of this whole show? Right? Seems like much. Okay?
How do they know it's from Hashem if they something?
How would they know it's from Hashem? I guess because Eliyahu's saying, now is the time. He's going to Achav and says, now Hashem's going to bring you rain, and he brings you rain.
I think, wasn't the whole point of the thing to show them that there is a Hashem?
Yes.
And, if he just, brought them rain, they still didn't believe in Hashem, so it would have defeated the whole purpose, you know? He had to do something to show them that,
Right. Hashem's one was really in charge.
Yeah.
Right. Right, I understand. Right. Right. How would they take it? Let's say God says give him rain, right? So let's say you would just say, okay, Hashem says it's going to be rain, it's going to be rain. Right? So in theory, a person is rational, he'd say, well, Eliyahu said no rain. There was no rain. 3 years. Now Eliyahu says there's rain, and now it rains. So it seems to be a rational deduction to make. This is Eliyahu from Hashem. He's not Hashem, right? But what would they say? What would happen? You think, what was wrong with just doing that?
It's not like they did Shuvah though before, that's why they deserved it, you know? It's just the point where it's too hard to not have rain.
Right, it seems so. I mean, it seems maybe some people, I think we saw something, someone said that some of the people did Shuvah, but yeah, it got to a point where, right, where it was too much. God didn't want to do it this much.
Because the way you were describing it, then it could just be like coincidental.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, they could say.
Predictor or whatever.
Right, right. They'll come up with some story, right? They'll say, yeah, Eliyahu knows, or not only that, they'll say, look at that. The Baal made it rain. Right? Eliyahu said it. Well, he knew. He had some way to know. I don't know. It's like he knew that the people he saw from the whole showdown, and this is what apparently he sensed, is that people were not convinced. They didn't do tshuva. Even though God said, give them rain, Eliyahu, then this is part of being a Navi, or being a Navi, I think, is a chacham. A And the Chacham looks into a situation and he knows that the people are still corrupt, Achav is still corrupt, the people are, there's all these Neviim, 450, 400, right, tons of Nevi Baal, these fake Neviim. So he realizes the people are not at a high level. So if you're just going to basically give them rain, you know what's going to happen. All these false prophets are going to give a story. They're going to spin it and they're going to say, oh, Baal listened, Asher listened, finally we fought off Elio and we listened, Baal listened, and Elio, oh, he said this from Hashem, but he just, you know, he just knew that people were not really at a level. And even though Hashem was giving them, saying, give them rain, Elio knew as the leader of the people, he knew the people and he knew that he had to make it in a way that was going to convince them that this is not, that the fact that there was no rain and now the fact that there is rain is Hashem. And he had to make it clear that they're not going to attribute the rain to their gods, and then they let them slip right back into the thing, right? Even though it seems like they did start wondering about, well, maybe Hashem is true because of this, right? Because when he says if it's Hashem or his Baal, they didn't know; they were stuck. So before this, they didn't know; they were convinced in Baal. So he did start the motion of the people towards, at least he put them in doubt. He made them question: who's the real force here? Is it Baal or is it Hashem? But now he knew that they're on the fence. Right? They're on the fence. And if someone's on the fence, then you give them the right situation, they'll just go back the other way. So he knew that he couldn't just let them, even though Hashem said give them rain, he knew the whole thing would be worthless. It would go back and they'd lose everything that they gained. All the steps that he made them starting to realize maybe these vowels aren't real. If 3 years or whatever hasn't been giving us rain, maybe something's up here. So, but he knew that the battle was not won. He knew he had to, the final step, right when you give them rain, he knew there's the danger of going right back to where they started. Right? That's the idea. It's like there's no atheist in a foxhole, they say. That someone's in a time, tough time, everyone believes in God. But then after it's over, then a person goes right back and doesn't believe anymore. So that's like a tendency, is that when pressure, in a person's situation of pressure, all of a sudden they believe in all the stuff, but then the question is, does it really make an impact? He knew that they had to, he had to end it. Given the rain on a very strong, impactful thing that would move the people to tshuva as a real tshuva. Right? So he held, this was the way. The first thing he had to do, what was the first thing he had to make sure he would do? It was the first part of this whole thing. Or a part of this whole thing. What was his mission here? Okay, to bring the rain, but what did he have to do before he would bring the rain? He couldn't just bring the rain, he had to... Okay, so even before that, before Klai Shav is from Hashem. Yeah, the first thing he had to do is he had to discredit Baal. He had to show, Baal, they were all worshippers of Baal here. He had to make fun of, undermine, ridicule, totally show that this whole Baal thing is corrupt. Because he knew that's what the people were going to say, this is from Baal. That's what they're going to say. It's going to make it rain. He knew they were going to say this is Baal's rain. So the first thing he had to do is basically give them a chance. You do all your Baal dances. You do all your Baal cutting. You do all your stuff. All your crazy things you want to do. Let's see what do. Give it your best shot. You know?
Don't you think it's surprising that they did give it a shot? Like, they must have known in advance that this wasn't going to work.
You know, somehow idolaters are... Look, you'd be surprised that people even do rain dances altogether. But they do. And that people believe that they put a key in the challah, and all these things. I mean, people believe in these things, right? Somehow people believe in these things. Do they know it's not going to work? No, they think it works. Sometimes it doesn't work in the past. Yeah, it does, sort of. They do their dance, it doesn't rain then, or it's 2 weeks later, they say, oh, it must have been the dance, right? I mean, these things are not, you know. They believe that, you know, the Nevi'im especially, they, you know, they fool themselves into believing this stuff, you know? Like any good religious person believes in, you know, in their religion. So, they believed and they did their dances, and Elio basically had to, he knew he had to ridicule them. That's why he gave them time. He let them have all the time that they needed and do the dances. Finally, after it all didn't work, it's not just that, it wasn't enough even that it wouldn't work. Then he knew he had to ridicule it. He had to undermine it. He had to show that it's stupid. It's like he had to make fun of it, show that they're projecting human things, maybe sleeping, like all these things, you know? He basically had to show. He gave them their full chance. They had enough time. They were there the whole day, right? I mean, he just did it very quick in a minute, right? Right when he davened Hashem, and he came down. But he gave them all the time in the world. There's no excuses. There's nothing they could say. They had enough time. There was no water on their things, right? So the first thing you have to do is, before people are willing to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to knock out Baal. You know? Which is interesting. It's like, you can't just, apparently you can't just say, okay, let me tell you good ideas about Hashem. Because they're still attached to Baal. And Baal's their man. So if you don't undermine and discredit their Odezara, then you're not gonna teach them about Hashem. You know, he knew that that was what he had to do first. So he had to basically break them away from their false ideas. Right? That's good in general, a good lesson. So you want to tell someone ideas. Sometimes a good step is first to shake them from their beliefs. If they're comfortable with their beliefs and their way of life, their value system, then you're not gonna be able to give them yours, say, oh, I have an alternate. First, he has some questions, get them in contradictions, make them realize they have problems. It's not so simple. Then he'll say, oh, do you have any answers? Oh, okay, now we can talk about it. But before, you got to first show them, get them frustrated, give them their best shot. And all the people, obviously, these are the Nevi'i Baal, but all the people who are Nevi'i Baal, all the people who are in doubt. So you see, all the people are going to look at these Nevi'i Baal, it's ridiculous. It's a joke, right? Only then could he now show Hashem as the real, you know? It's the stark contrast between all the work that they did for nothing. Not a sound, not a peep, not anything. And then him, with all this setting up. And then he knew also, that was the second thing. First thing, discredit Baal. Second thing is show that Hashem is really God. So now you can't come off as implying that he's just a very good magician or he's very good at special effects. You had to make it clear that Hashem is the real deal. So that's why he had to set up all this special effect, you know, all this water and all this and all that. He had to make it like a clear miracle. Right? Clear. Make it in a way that no one would be able to have any taina that he's just a very good magician or he's a good, you know, a good sleight of hand or good whatever. So he set it up in the perfect way, and he's mispala also. That's what they say, is that they say, why did he have to be mispala? If I saw that thing in a doctor, that's why did he mispala? Didn't Hashem tell him that it's going to rain? So they say it's good with this, the way we're saying, is that because it had to be clear that it's from Hashem, right? So if you wouldn't be a spala, then it doesn't tie directly to God. But here, the whole idea is to show he's a Navi Hashem. He talks to Hashem, Hashem answers him, Hashem does exactly what he says, so he says, Aneni Hashem, Aneni. And then right after the rain, when he did that, then the rain came. You know? So then the people realized Hashem is Hashem. But not then the rain came. I'm sorry, then the fire came down from the sky and ate up the karma. So he saw the idea of Hashem and Avodas Hashem and Eliyahu davening to Hashem. They showed him many ideas about Hashem. And after that, then he says, okay, then he told his little boy, look at the sky and whatever. Now when the rain comes, it's going to be clearly attributed to Zagash Baruch Hu. He timed it, he did the karma, the whole thing. It's going to be attributed to Eliyahu, the Navi Hashem. And now the people wouldn't fall back into their way of Baal. And then this whole purpose of this whole drought in the first place was to get the people to pull them away from their Avodah Zarah. So he knew that would get the people to, and that's what they responded right away, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, right after the fire came down. And once Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, now when the rain comes down, now we can give the people water, and they won't starve, and they won't be whatever. That, now it's appropriate to do it. But he knew before that it would not work. But it is interesting, is that point that you see, is that you raised before, is that it doesn't seem Hashem told him to this whole story. And the idea is that, I think Rebbe talked about this a number of times, but a Navi Hashem is not just like a person who's like, just sublimely submits to whatever God says. God says every single step of the way. The Navi is entrusted to use his Chachma and to best accomplish God's will. God said, go and get them rain. If he just says, okay, here's rain, boom. He knew it wouldn't work. And the Navi is not supposed to say, oh, that's exactly what God said, I have to do that exactly, and I'm not supposed to think, I'm just supposed to just blindly just repeat exactly the words that God puts into my mouth. It's not true. Navi Hashem is a great Chacham, and our ideas of Navi aren't just our Chacham. Every Navi is a great Chacham, so he's a great Chacham, and he had to use his mind. That's what God expected him to do. To use his mind to figure out the way, the problems with executing this plan. God just told him the result. The result is, go and make sure there's rain. Tell Acha there's going to be rain. How you do it? Dad, you have to come up with a plan. You have to work out the way, the fact that it won't undermine the whole idea of stopping the rain. It could be undermined totally if you don't do it properly. So that was Eliyahu did. You know, he figured out a way to do it, and then he executed it. Good? Okay. a little early, but maybe we'll stop here. Okay, any questions? Yeah. Okay, so I think what we're going to do, the next topic, I even forgot, I have to figure it out. But I think what happened was...